You know, it's such a joy, an unspeakable joy to have God's Word and especially to read it. And it's just one of the favorite things that anybody can do, I'm sure. And it's a living Word. It's alive. And I've told you before about you. It's kind of like you've got some old, real friends that you know in there and in the Bible. And since the Word is living, it's as though these people are speaking right through the Word of God to you, no matter who it is. And that's a great joy. It's a great joy. We're turning in our Bibles to Acts, to Matthew chapter 26. The title of our message tonight is To Seek and Serve Christ. To Seek and to Serve Christ. And in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, well, before we read, let's have another word of prayer. Lord, we're so grateful for the so great salvation that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the great hope of His soon appearing to take us out of this world and to be in His presence forevermore with You and the Heavenly Father and the angels. And what a glorious future. And we do pray that for these few moments that You'll bless each of our hearts and help us to receive that which You have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew 26 and verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is My body. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this of the vine until that day that I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of Me this night. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny Me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then saith he unto them, tarry ye here and watch with Me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed. And he came and found them asleep again. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to the disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. One of the 12 came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. I noticed in verse 31, that the Lord said, ye shall be offended because of me. And in verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, I will never be offended. And then in verse 34, the Lord told him, you're going to deny me three times this night. You're going to deny me. And Peter said in verse 35, I will not deny you. And then in verse 38, he says, watch with me. And Peter went to sleep, and the others. And in fact, three times he went to sleep. In verse 40, verse 42, and verse 43. And it says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 57. Let's go to verse 57. I'm sorry, let's go to verse 55. In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes that had come for him, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching you in the temple, and you laid no hand on me. But this was all done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And verse 57, and when they had laid hold on Jesus, they led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Peter followed him, followed the Lord afar off. When I read that, the question that comes to my heart, and I hope to your heart as well, is as we follow the Lord, how close to him are we? Peter followed afar off. Do the Lord's people ever follow the Lord afar off? Peter did. The other disciples did. I found a verse in the Old Testament in the prophet Hosea, chapter 6 and verse 3, that says, then shall we know, Hosea 6, 3, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain and as the latter and former rain on the earth, if we follow to know the Lord. The purpose of following the Lord is to know the Lord. To know that one day soon, it could be to this day, this day would be as good as any day for the Lord to return in the air and catch us away. It could be tomorrow. It could be any day. We all know we're living right at the threshold of His coming. And every believer needs to be alert, be aware, and not be sitting around warming ourselves with the servants of the enemies of Christ. That's what Peter was doing. We don't need to be doing that. There's too much of the Lord's business to be done. The psalmist said in Psalm 26 in verse 4, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. Dissemblers, according to the word 5956 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary, means those who conceal or they veil from the sight of others the secrets of their life and how they're living. The psalmist said, I have not sat with vain persons. I don't go in with dissemblers. We need to take verses like that and shine it on our hearts to see what we find there with the light of God's word. Do we sit and warm ourselves with the dissemblers of this world? The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 29 and verse 13, wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. But accepting and following Christ, first of all, accepting Him and following Christ, that's life's most important decision. By far, to accept Christ and to follow Him is life's most important decision. It's an eternal choice that everyone makes or they don't make. You surrender your life. You surrender for His life, for eternal life. You surrender your temporary hell-bent life for His life, for eternal life. He gave His life for us. He gave His life for you when he paid the penalty of your sins as He hung upon the cross, dying on a cruel cross as your substitute. You and I should have been on that cross. He gave His life for you. Have you likewise given your life for Him? You have to come to Christ. You have to come to Him. You have to believe that He died on the sin, for your sins, and receive Christ as your own, as your Savior, and from the penalty of sins. You have to lose your life. I have to lose my life in order to have eternal life. And then, once you've done that, you have to take up your cross You have to take up your cross. You know, I was amazed as I was reading in the book of Acts, but before we turn over there, it says in verse 69 of chapter 26. Now, Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou wast also with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. And he began to curse. Peter began to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He went out and wept bitterly. But I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. It says, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues and as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. This was a big, big gathering. Now when this was noised abroad and the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya and Cyrene and the strangers of Rome. Jews, proselytes, and the Cretes and the Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, our languages, the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others, mocking, said, These men are full of new wine. And Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day," that's between 9 o'clock in the morning and noon. "But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." And then he comes on down. Verse 21 is an important verse. As Peter is preaching, as he's preaching on the day of Pentecost, he's not the same man that we saw who was denying the Lord. What was the difference? Well, let's read. It says in verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's a good verse to give to a lost person among many, many other ones. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And notice what he says in verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." That's quite a change. It's quite a change from that timid Tim and Peter we saw during the trial of the Lord. Quite a change. And as I was reading this and seeing how weak he was, it reminded me of me. It should remind us of all of us. But something has changed here. What is it? What is it that's changed? Well, it's the same thing that will change our lives and give us more of God's power in our lives. And that is the Spirit of God. What made the difference between Peter denying the Lord and it was the filling of the Spirit? You know, that is such a different lesson altogether and so important. To be filled with God's Spirit. That doesn't mean like we start acting like a charismatics. And when I was young, and probably you too, I didn't know anything hardly about the Bible. And I would go to these charismatic churches. I thought they were like any other church. And look in verse, as he continues to talk about the resurrection, how that it proves that Christ is, that who they crucified is the Lord in Christ. Look at verse 32. Peter continues, and he says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, the heavens. But he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstools. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye have crucified. He's telling the religious leaders, everyone there, especially the leaders, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. You know, the Bible tells us that if we're saved, that we are the temple of God. We're God's temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, ye are the temple of God. Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? That phrase caught me as I was reading that passage. And ye are not your own. Chew on that one for a while. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And you know, when my heart finds a nugget like that in the Bible, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you and which you have of God, and ye are not your own? That's something, that's a truth, a nugget, a jewel that I don't want to soon forget that. I don't want to soon forget that. Ye are not your own. We are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, 9. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And you know, we have our devotions, and that's good. We should. It's critically important. We come to the church when the church meetings are taking place, and that's good. That's critically important. But you know, we have to leave our homes and go out into whatever we do in the business world. We need to take truths like this with us. I mean, that phrase, ye are not your own. If we just meditate upon that, it opens up all kinds of fascinating thoughts to us. And so what was the difference with Peter? It has to be the same thing that has to be different in our lives. That we need to get the world away from us. You know, the television, the newspapers, our smartphones. This is really where wisdom comes from, right here. And to the degree that we daily spend time in this will be the degree to which we can walk in the truth, that knowing that we are not our own. That means I don't just decide what I'm going to do. because it's my life. No, it's not. It's not my life. It's not your life. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? God bought us. He purchased us. And look at the transformation that it made in the life of Peter. What amazed me is that the rulers, and they couldn't do anything about it. They saw the miracles that were being done. Chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They marveled. Well, I hope that I had a more in this message, but I think I'm going to kind of bring it to a close at this point. But you can see in the life of Peter that transformation. And what was it? What was it? It was the filling of the Holy Ghost. He was yielded to the Holy Ghost. Let me show you one other little excerpt in chapter 3, Acts chapter 3. In verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple of the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. I can almost picture that, you know, asking alms. He probably had to be carried there every day. And he was lame. He had to be carried there. It says in verse 2, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried and laid there at this gate of the temple. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He thought, oh boy, somebody's going to help me out today. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked. I mean, he was fully healed as though he had never had any kind of infirmity at that moment. When Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, immediately his feet, his ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood with and walked with them and entered into the with the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He was probably the most fit person in the temple complex that day. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms. They'd seen that man for years. Probably a lot of people had dropped a coin in his in his cup or whatever. And they were filled with wonder and amazement what had happened. And it, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And Peter saw it, and he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the holy and just one, and you desired a murderer to be granted, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong." These disciples were turning the place upside down. And they long deserved it. They long deserved it. And then he tells them, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of the refreshings have come from the presence of the Lord." So, excuse me, as I was reading these passages, meditating upon them, I was trying to let the Lord speak to my heart. Because no matter where we read in the Bible, God can apply and teach us about our own selves. And I thought, you know, the Lord didn't make it hard to be filled with the Spirit. We just have to desire it. We just have to desire it honestly and put away some of the things that are interfering and just pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we pray 24/7. That doesn't mean if we go to take an exam in some school, we just pray instead of putting the answers down. But we do pray without ceasing. It's just something that it's like we have Christ with us and we're praying. That's a good habit for all of us to get into. Pray without ceasing. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for these few moments together to open your word. We thank you for the marvel of your word. It's just amazing, Lord. And we thank you that you can teach us critical things that we need to know in these days. You can show us how to reach the lost by giving them the gospel. You can show us how to encourage fellow believers by speaking a word that's from your word. And we just thank you, Lord, for this time together. And we pray that each one of us may take an inventory of our lives. And we know Peter was having some problems, but through the power of your Spirit, they were straightened out. And he became a powerful, powerful witness for you. And we pray that you will do that in our lives too. And we pray to the end that the Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in our lives. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.